Hi everyone, welcome to part number 20 of the Our Covenant God study. Firstly, let's look at last week's homework. Question number 1. How could someone become a son of God before Jesus came to this earth? Since the creation, everyone has become a son of God the same way, by calling on the name of the Lord. In marriage and in adoption, you take that person's name for your own. In marriage, it is the woman who takes the man's name. It's the same for us as the bride of Christ. We take his name. But we know also that he has taken the names Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as his own names too. Now, in adoption, you lose your previous name and you find your identity in the name of your adoptive parents. Once again, it's the same for us. We lose our previous identity and take on the identity of Christ. It doesn't matter if you were born before or after Christ. We all become sons of God because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Before Jesus died, people reached forward and grabbed hold of the hope of his future resurrection. But today, we reach back in time to grab hold of the same resurrection. And at the same time, we are still reaching forward in time for the full manifestation of our own resurrection, when this earth has been remade and we ourselves have our glorified bodies. That is when the sons of God will be revealed. Romans tells us that. Homework question number 2. In your own words, explain what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord means to aggressively take hold of God and attach yourself to him in covenant union, taking his name as your own. Homework question number 3. Why is it so dangerous to marry an unbeliever? History shows us clearly that when believers marry unbelievers, it usually turns the unbeliever's heart away from God. That is simply the bottom line. But what if you are already married to an unbeliever? Should you then get divorced? No. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 12 to 16, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Now for today's lesson. When Jesus talked about the end of this creation, he said it would be just like in the days of Noah. Last week we started to examine what it was like in Noah's day. This week we are going to look at the progression of the deterioration of mankind leading up to the flood. Last week we saw how the sons of God, being the people who knew God, intermarried with people who did not know God. We also saw that to be a son of God involved calling upon the name of the Lord, which is an aggressive taking his name as your own as you attach yourself to him. So calling on the name of the Lord can be rephrased as taking the name of the Lord. As a side note, it is worth mentioning that even in today's English, if you say that you're going to call on someone, it's more than simply calling their name. For example, when a doctor calls on his patients, he does not simply pop his head through the door to say, "Hi." In the same way, people used to say that a gentleman was calling on a lady friend. That expression implied that there was romance involved and that the man was hoping for a deeper involvement with the woman. In Acts 2 verse 21, Peter tells the Jews that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in verses 38 to 39, Peter tells them how to do so. I'm going to read from New King James Version. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" So Peter told them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting to note that the "be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ" would be more accurately translated as "be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ." In other words, be fully immersed into the name of Jesus Christ for your sins to be wiped away. This is how we call upon the name of the Lord. We immerse ourselves completely into the name of Jesus. We become one with Him in covenant union. So calling on the name of the Lord is the same as taking the name of the Lord, which is the same as being baptized into or in the name of the Lord. In Acts 16, Ananias gives Saul, who is Paul, these exact same instructions. Acts 16 verse 16 says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." In other words, arise and be fully immersed into the name of Jesus.